Hamishi. And this is a conjoined reading, which, as we explained yesterday, is really kind of one parsha. And what would typically be the third reading, but what this week is the fifth reading. Moshe Rabbeinu summons his disciple Yehoshua. Vayomer elav, and he says to him, Li'enei kol Yisrael. He says this before the eyes of the entire nation of Israel. And the Mefarshim point out that he says it, Le'eni kol Yisrael, he says, if you want to be humble in your private life, that's your business. Now it's time to act presidential. And he says, Chazak ve'emotz, you must be strong, filled with courage. Ki at ha'tov yisa'om hazeh, you're going to bring this nation, el ha'oretz asher nishba Hashem la'avosam, to the land that the good Lord has promised their ancestors. You are the one to give it to them. You are the one to inherit it for them. Now, what does this mean? Really, your parents, or the Yetzei Mitzrayim, they're the ones who bequeathed it. So what does it mean that he's the one who bequeaths it? So the Targum Yonasan Ben Uzziel says, obviously the bequeathment comes from whoever died, which is the Yetzei Mitzrayim, those who left out of Egypt. And they passed, so to speak, the land onto their progeny. However, Yehoshua is the one who makes sure that this bequeathment actually makes it to the right place. V'Hashem hu ha'elech lefanecha. It is God who is going to go before you. Hu yiyeimach, he'll be with you. Lo yarpecha v'lo yazvecha. He will not loosen his hold on you. He will not abandon you. Lo yisiro v'lo yisechos. You shall not be frightened. You shall have no temerity. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu was charging Yehoshua. Final words, final marching orders. You're going to be the one to do all of these things, and Hashem will be with you. And then at this point, Vayichtev Moshe es ha'Torah hazeis, Moshe writes down this Torah. Vayitna el ha'koyanim b'nei Levi. He hands it off to the Kohanim, the children of Levi. Hanoisim es ha'roin b'ris Hashem, the ones who carry the covenant of Hashem, the Ark of the Covenant. V'alkol zikne Yisrael, and to all of the elders of Israel. So this is final words, final inspiration, final courage that he gives him, and he hands the Torah off to them. And that brings us to today's subject. So now, after Moshe Rabbeinu giving the final words to Yehoshua, and telling him about his incredible responsibility and the certainty that Hashem will help him, all of a sudden, the Torah switches tracks. Vayitzav Moshe Isam Lamer. After Moshe Rabbeinu having already given over all of the final instructions, we finished putting them through the covenant. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is consoling them, as we learned yesterday, on the last day of his life. And when he finishes speaking to the Jewish people and telling them to be strong and have courage, he talks to Yehoshua, and he specifically instructs him about what he should do on the go forward. And the Torah suddenly says, Vayitzav Moshe Isam, Moshe commanded them, Lamer, Miketz Sheva Shonim, at the edge of 7 years, B'moyed Shnas HaShmita, in the time of the Shmita year, B'chag HaSukkos, in the time of the festival of Sukkot. So all of a sudden, we're talking about something very different. We're not talking about going into Israel. We're not talking about conquering the land. We're not talking about bequeathment. We're not talking about inheritance. Now we're talking about a mitzvah. A mitzvah that will take place at the end of 7 years, Miketz Sheva Shanim, and it's not in the year of Shemitah, it's B'moyed, in the time of Shemitah. And the Gemara in Masechet Sota on page 41 says to us that this is in order so they shouldn't make a mistake to think that you have to count the Shemitah from the day of this mitzvah, when this mitzvah is fulfilled. But it's B'moyed, it's not exactly, that's not when the Shemitah ends, because it's saying B'miketz, you would think that somehow Rosh Hashanah is not the end for this mitzvah, but the year of Shemitah is from the edge of Shemitah, the day we do this mitzvah, which is the second day of Sukkot. So the Gemara says that's what it says, B'moyed, it's the time of Shemitah, we're still in the afterglow of Shemitah, we're still in the aftermath of Shemitah, and at the end of these 7 years, B'voikol Yisrael, when? At the time when the Jewish people are coming, Leirois Espnei Hashem Elokecha, to see, so to speak, the face of the Lord your God, B'mokeh Masha Yivchar, in the very place that he will choose, Tikra Es HaTorah Hazois, then you will read this Torah, Neged Kol Yisrael, corresponding to all of Israel, Le'abbe Oznei, you'll read it into their ears. Now, the Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing this Torah, and now we speak about Tikra es HaTorah Hazeh. So you're going to read this Torah. So to be sure, there are those who maintain that Vayichtev Moshe es HaTorah Hazeh is Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the portions of Chumash Devarim that would have to be read by the king. That's what the Sepharno says. However, Rashi, especially as elucidated by the Sifsei Chachamim and the Ramban, as explained at length, says the whole Torah, from Bereishis Bara Elokim all the way until the end of the Torah. The whole Torah. So this whole Torah will be read. You don't read the whole Torah. As the Sepharno says, you only read portions. Thank you. You only read portions of it. However, it's a whole Torah scroll. Why does it say Bevoi Kol Yisrael when the Jewish people are coming? So the same Gemara in Masechet Tzeita says that we would think it's at the end of the festival of Sukkot. Maybe it's like on the climax. It would be the original Simchas Torah. No, Bevoi, when they're still coming. And they come, it's not at the end of Sukkot, they're still in the beginning of Sukkot. If so, why is it the second day of Sukkot? So the Rebbe answers, because after the first day of Sukkot, the Jewish people have become united. First of all, they sat in a Sukkot together. After they sat in a Sukkot together, which represents the klal, the plurality, the general Jewish people, everybody sitting in a Sukkah in like fashion, as the Gemara says, Kol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leisha B'Sukkah Achas, that we can all sit together in the same Sukkah. It envelops all of us equally, rich and poor, wise and foolish, sophisticated and simpleton. And then after this, the next morning, we actually emphasize the details. We take a lulav and he towers above and he represents Torah. We take the esrog, which represents this perfect Jew, this beautiful Jew. He does everything you could possibly do. He's involved everywhere. And then we take the hadassim. Well, at least they do lots of mitzvahs. And the aravas, nothing much. They're just there. And you put them all together. And then after we experience this kind of unity on the first day of Sukkot, now we're ready. Now we're ready for this mitzvah, which is a brilliant mitzvah of Jewish unity. And so, who will read this? The Gemara in Saita says, Tikra HaTorah Hazeh HaMelech. The king of the Jewish people is obligated and commanded to read this Torah. And what does it mean? Who is he reading to? The answer is, Neged Kol Yisrael means to all of the Jewish people, Kol Yisrael. Now the Chizkuni says that this mitzvah is applicable from Yehoshua onward, because Yehoshua had the halacha as being a melech. And we know this because when the Rambam describes how you appoint a king, he brings the example of Yehoshua as a proof. He says a king has to be appointed through the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin has to appoint a king. How do we know that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yehoshua with the Sanhedrin. So Yehoshua was already doing this mitzvah. And what's the emphasis on HaTorah Hazeh? Do you know of the second Torah? This Torah. What, Moshe gave 4 Torahs, 10 Torahs, 2 Torahs? What does it mean, HaTorah Hazeh? So the Gemara in Chagiga says, and the Rambam says this in this halacha, that the reading of this mitzvah has to be performed in its Hebrew original. It cannot be translated, it cannot be a synopsis. He has to actually read from the Torah, HaTorah Hazeh, in its original Hebrew. Now, the emphasis here is b'makom asher yivchar, that you read this Torah in the place where Hashem chooses. You may well ask, what difference does it make where? As long as you do the mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Moshe Alshech answers this question in a very interesting way. How is it possible that all of Israel would be able to hear a single man read the Torah, even if he's the king? After all, there was no technology. They didn't have any PA system. They didn't have amplification. How would they hear it? If it's important for them to read the Torah, nobody would hear what they would see some little guy in the corner doing something. Nobody would hear him. But in fact, it says, Tikra HaTorah Hazeh be'ozneihem. Read it into their ears. So Rabbeinu Moshe Alshech says, this was miraculous. One of the miracles that was experienced on a regular basis. Hashem would amplify the voice. Do you know why? Because it was the place Hashem chose. So when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, in a place of miracles, and the Melech reads the Torah, Hashem amplified the voice. It had a lot to do with location. Yes.
Did they also hear it in their languages?
No, doesn't say that. No. The only miracle was amplification. Doesn't say anything about translation. On the contrary, you had to hear it in its Hebrew original. What is the name of this mitzvah? What's this mitzvah about? Verse 12, Hakel es ha'om. Gather, unite, congregate the nation. Ha'anoshim, v'hanoshim v'hataf. the men, the women, and the children. And the proselyte who is in your gates. And you should do so, l'ma'an yishmu, so that you might hear, u'l'ma'an yilmedu, so that you might learn. So you listen and learn, v'yoru es Hashem aleikeichem, and they will then revere Hashem their God. And if you have yirah shamayim, if there's a sense of awe and a sense of reverence and respect, v'shomru la'aseis, then they will keep as kol divrei ha'Torah hazois, all the words of this Torah. Rashi says, what's the meaning of tikra es ha'Torah hazois? Well, let's go back actually to the beginning to Pasuk Yud. We'll do all three Pesukim now. Miketz Shevashonim, every 7 years. As we said from the Gemara, this is Bishrono Rishoino Shel Shmita. This is the first year of the agricultural cycle. Shehi Hashana Hashminis, which would technically be the 8th year, because after 7 years, the 8th year, which is the first year of the new cycle. The Loma Koira Isa Shnasa Shmita. Why then does he call it the year of Shmita? After all, it's not the year of Shemitah. It's the 8th year, or the first of a new cycle. Says Rashi, Sha'adayin Shviyas Nehegizba. We're still in the afterglow of the Shemitah year. We still have some holiness in the Shemitah year. In fact, as the way the Rebbe explains it, after we're elevated and exalted with Shemitah, because we didn't work in a normal way, and we focused on study of Torah for a whole year, when Yidden are primed and ready, after a year of Shemitah, oh, now, now we can hear the Melech read the Torah, and now it will be meaningful, it will touch us appropriately.
But what I don't understand is, if the beginning of the year is Nisan, is it not based on
The beginning of the year is Rosh Hashanah. The first month is Nisan, the beginning of the year is Rosh Hashanah.
So you're saying that for Shemitah, it would be based
on... The agricultural year begins on Rosh Hashanah. Yes. Most halachic cycles, annual cycles, begin on Rosh Hashanah.
So the end of the 7th year happened before Rosh Hashanah, and then you're still tailing. Now you're into your 8th year.
That's correct. That's it, because things that were planted or grew during the year of Shemitah, which would now possibly be harvested, would also not be permitted.
Right.
To harvest them in a typical fashion. Tikra Sateira Hazeis. Rashi says Mitchilas Eila Hadvarim, from the beginning of Eila Hadvarim, until after the parsha of Shema Yisrael, and then afterwards we skip to Vahayim Shemaya. And then we do Aser to Aser, and then we do Kisichala, and then we do the blessings and the curses, and we take that straight through to the Parsha Asim Olai Melech. Kide Isse Mesech HaSeita, like it says in Mesech HaSeita, that the king would be Al Bima, on a platform, a temporary platform, Shel Eitz, Shehoyo Eisim Ba'azara, which they would make in the courtyard. In the courtyard, that would be made on the morning of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. That's when they would quickly build this platform, and on that second day of Sukkot is when this would happen. Ha'anoshim, Rashi says, Lilmai, they come to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The noshim, the woman, come l'shemoya, to listen to the words of Torah. Bataf, what about the children? Lamabo, why did the children come? Says Rashi, l'seischar l'mivyehem. You ask the question, but the small children can't hear anything. Yeah, that's true. But the parents who brought the small children, they do get some reward. They do receive a sense of edification when the children are coming. They have such nachas, and Hashem rewards them so well because they educated the children right. Ramban actually says that it doesn't refer to little tiny children. It refers to children who are old enough to know what's going on, like grade school children, already came to chinuch. Many Rishonim disagree with Ramban, and they say, no, even babies, everybody was there. Everybody was there. And this mitzvah of Hakel, which gathered all of the Jewish people together, would result in Uvneim Ashalayodu, the children who did not know, Yishmu, they will hear, Vilamdu, they will learn, Leyira Hashem Alekechem, to revere, to honor, and to respect Hashem their God, Kol Hayomim, all the days, Asher Atem Chayim Al Hadoma, that you will live upon this land, Asher Atem Evrim Esa Yarden, which you are now crossing the Jordan, Shama, to go there, L'rishta. As the Erech Chaim says, when the small children are raised with Yira Shamayim, they're raised with a sense of reverence, awe, and respect for Hashem, so then this becomes the foundation for the rest of their lives. And that's why it's so important to try to implant Yira Shamayim, a sense of reverence and awe for Hashem and for Yiddishkeit, in very small children. Do it at the young age. It stays with them. It remains the foundational essence. Okay, so here's the big question. The big question is, what is this mitzvah of Hakel doing at this juncture? It kind of seems to fall in after the Torah is finished already. As the Rebbe asks in the Birum book on page Kuf Samachay, page Tazayin, Mekoyme shel mitzvah zu, the place of this mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Hakel, the where it appears in Torah, Deirish Bir, it has to be understood. It seems to be out of order. This mitzvah of the king uniting the people is out of order. Why is it out of order? Well, Kichlal, as a rule, HaParshias HaRishayni Shebetera, the earlier Parshias, HaKoyles Es Tzava'oseh Shal Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, which include the last will and testament of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people, the Yomim HaAcharonim L'Chayev, in the last days of his life, Einam Oiskeis, the mitzvahs Mesuyomis B'lachaseim. As a rule, these last Parshias, Parshias Nitzavim Vayelech, there are no mitzvahs in these Parshias. What is the focus on? B'divrei HaBris, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about the covenant. You're all united together. You're going into this covenant with Hashem. He gives them this musar. He gives them this ethical will. He rebukes them. He cajoles them. He inspires them. He engages them. As we looked yesterday, he comforts them. And it's not about the mitzvahs anymore. He already said all the mitzvahs. That was the sermon part. That was the encouragement part. This is like the end, the crescendo, the climax of a whole 5 weeks of Moshe Rabbeinu reviewing and teaching. Now he's sermonizing. And now he's inspiring the people. And he's giving them all kinds of added inspiration.
But isn't the theme of Hakel exactly that same thing?
What? The theme of inspiration?
Sure.
It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah.
He's inspiring the nation.
I understand. But Moshe Rabbeinu should have been talking about all the mitzvahs. You want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was performing an act of Hakel of sorts. Well, it's the wrong year and the wrong time of the year. But that's fine. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was doing a hakel of sorts. That's fine. But he should have repeated all the mitzvahs. And now if he wanted to do something in the image of one of those mitzvahs, well, go ahead. But why is this mitzvah, why does it appear over here? This mitzvah is mefiah. It appears with the details of halachas. Be'itzumam shel divrei ha-musa shel Moshe. In the midst of the soaring rhetoric of Moshe Rabbeinu, suddenly appears a mitzvah. Oh, by the way, I want to tell you halacha. La halachas are halachas. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes, so here's what we're going to do, and here's how you should do it, and here's when you should do it. And now Moshe Rabbeinu starts the intense, beautiful words that elevate and inspire the people. And he says, oh, by the way, let's shut that oratory off for a moment. I just want to review one more mitzvah. Why? Why here?
It's not reviewing, it's giving a practice.
Exactly. You never heard this mitzvah. We're not even reviewing. You're hearing this mitzvah. It's like, one second, I forgot to tell you one of the mitzvahs. And this, in fact, is the 612th mitzvah in the Torah. Now, the 613th mitzvah in the Torah is the mitzvah of writing a Torah scroll. But then again, that makes sense that it should appear at the end of the Torah scroll, because you can't give a mitzvah to write a Torah scroll, and there was no Torah scroll. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu finished the Torah scroll. He says, okay, see this book, see this scroll I just finished? It's your mitzvah now to write it as many times as you can. Everybody's got to write one. Okay, but you can only give a mitzvah of writing a Torah scroll when you have a Torah scroll. The mitzvah of Hakel should have appeared like earlier, Hadavim Meir Tumia. This is quite astonishing. Madua Mefia Mitzvah Zu Kan. Why does Mitzvah appear here at this point, this juncture? V'loy b'parshias achedus, not in the other parshias. Ha'oiskes b'mitzvahs demis. There are mitzvahs like this. There are mitzvahs of the Jewish people coming together in the Holy Land and doing certain things in unified fashion. Why would the mitzvah of Hakel not have appeared amongst those mitzvahs instead? It's delayed until after Moshe Rabbeinu finished talking about all the mitzvahs. And at the tail end of this, at the very, very conclusion, suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu now begins to review all over. Oh, 1 second. Put the brakes on. I got a little mitzvah I didn't tell you about. The Rebbe says there are two ways to explain this. Number one is in the way of Pshuta Yishol Mikra. Simple explanation of the verse. It makes perfect sense. How? Mitzvah's Hakel, this mitzvah of Hakel, Einoy Mefia Kan, Kitzivu Livnei Yisrael. It does not show up as a command to the Jewish people. B'dayim L'Shara Mitzvahs. Well, if it's not a command, why is it a mitzvah? Ah, you see, He Mahava Chelek Mitzvah Ase Shal Moshe LeYeshua. It's part of Moshe Rabbeinu telling Yehoshua what to do. And that's why I began today's class reading the verses where Moshe Rabbeinu charges Yehoshua with his responsibility. In other words, behemshech lahanchoya haklolus b'dvar haknisa l'aretz. in addition to Moshe Rabbeinu's words about going into the land of Israel, capturing the land of Israel, developing our Jewish commonwealth, Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition to all this, he adds, and he indicates to Yehoshua, as well as to the kings that will follow, Ma alav lasis, what can the king do? What must the king do? Lahavtiach es kiyumim shel bnei Yisrael ba'aretz, to ensure that they will continue to remain in the land of Israel. You know, like people say, it's one thing to build, it's quite another to maintain. There are lots of people who can build businesses, but then can't maintain the business. There are people who can build a building, but then the building doesn't get maintained. Building is amazing, an amazing feat, a great accomplishment. But sometimes, to be able to nourish, sustain, and continue is even more difficult. And that's where many people fail. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yehoshua, you're going to bring the people into the land, you'll conquer the nation, you'll divide all of the provinces up. Problem, I'll do all those things. And Yeshua must be thinking in the back of his head, but how do I make this last? What happens when the inspiration is over? It's like anybody can get married. How many people can make a marriage last? That's not so pashut. It's not so simple. To come into a land, there have been many lands that have been born, many countries created in history. How many of them are still around? How will we guarantee that the Jewish people will always remain inspired? How will we guarantee the Jewish people will always remain committed? So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yehoshua, the answer to that question is that every 7 years, Hakel es ha'om, you must gather the nation. And when you will read the Torah to them, and when they will be surrounded, they will surround the king in the holy environment of the Beis HaMikdash, in the place that Hashem will choose, when that will happen, v'lamdu l'yiru es Hashem alikeichem, then they will learn to revere. They will learn to be in awe and have respect for Hashem, their God. Kol hayomim. What was your question? How will we make this continue? What's the answer? Hakel. If you do the mitzvah of Hakel, then they'll revere Hashem kol hayomim. All the days, asher atem chayim al adama. All the days you live in the land, this land, asher atem evrim, this land that you're going into. V'lochein, therefore, mekeim shel mitzvah zu, where's the place of this mitzvah? Right here. It's Kan. B'mizgeres tava'ase shel Moshe Yeshua. It's right here in the frame of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Yeshua, telling him about bringing the people into the land of Israel. The next detail in bringing the people into the land of Israel is maintaining our presence in Israel. And if we don't have inspiration, and if we don't have a sense of awe and respect for Hashem and for the mission He gave us, we'll never be able to remain in the land. Then everything crumbles. So the question was, what's it doing here? And the answer is, what do you mean? That's exactly where it should be. That's part of Yehoshua's responsibility. I only want to augment and add that according to many of the Achrenim, the mitzvah of Hakel is a mitzvah incumbent on the king. We are like passive participants. We get gathered, but it's the king who has to gather us. And the Kohanim and the Levites, we just read about Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to them, it's their responsibility to help the king gather the nation. So really, whose obligation is it? The king's obligation. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu is just telling the first king of the Jewish people, the king who will be was appointed by a Sanhedrin, who will be conquering the land. That's the first business of a monarch, is self-defense, national development. So you're going to develop the country. Here's what you must do to maintain the country. So this fits very, very beautifully, very snugly into the tzava, the last will and testament of Yehoshua. Another method, and this is in the way of drush, in the way of homily, in the way of halacha. Mitzvah's hakel, the mitzvah of hakel, noyada l'shamesh, was supposed to serve me'ein chiddush shel ma'amid har Sinai. It's supposed to be a revisitation of that great moment when we stood around Mount Sinai and received Hashem's Torah. She'ichazek es mechuyavoseihem shel b'nei Yisrael l'kiyum mitzvah's ha'tayra. This will strengthen our sense of duty, our sense of commitment, our sense of obligation to Hashem. Ukedivrei haRambam, like the words of the Rambam, chayovim lahochin liban. Yes, the king will gather us. We also have a role to play. We're obligated to prepare our hearts. Lahakshiv oznam, to bend an ear. Lishmoya, to listen. Be'em aviyira, in awe, in trepidation. Vigilo berada, and to be rejoicing with a sense of serene and elevated kind of happiness. Kiyoyim shenitna boi b'sinai. That's our job. Our job is to try to recapture, relive the time Hashem gave us the Torah at Sinai. V'yira atzmai. What's the responsibility? What's the halachic responsibility of the Jewish people who are gathered in the Beis HaMikdash and Hakel? Their responsibility is that they have to feel kilu ator etzava. We have to feel when the king is reading the Torah as if now Hashem is commanding us. Now He's giving us the mitzvah of piyagvura from the mouth of the might, so to speak. He's hearing it from Hashem Himself. V'lachein, therefore, zmana shel mitzvah zu, where's the place of this mitzvah? Davke b'matzav shebayachol yivotzer rifyin. You know where the place of this mitzvah is? Exactly where they might start to develop weakness. Exactly where we might start to lose our esteem and inspiration. In Yitzyasim b'nei Yisrael b'midbar l'sinai, when the Jewish people are going away from Mount Sinai, away from the desert, the place where they received the Torah and fulfilled the Torah for the last 40 years, eating manna and learning Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu. And where are they going now? V'knisasim l'Eretz Yisrael. We call going to Israel an aliyah. We call it an elevation. But probably for some of the Jewish people then, they thought this was a big yerida. We're going down. Here we were led by Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to lose Moshe Rabbeinu today. Here we were eating manna. Here we were in this miraculous reality of the Sinai Desert, where God sustained us, provided for us. This is ultimately where we received the Torah. And we're going into Israel now. We're becoming a regular country. We have to deal with sanitation and politics, which are not mutually exclusive. And all this is where we're going now. Right? And we're going from Moshe Rabbeinu, the man who got the Torah, Ha'isha Kibbalah Satorah. We're going L'manigasa Shal Yeshua, to the person who didn't, Hashem didn't give him the Torah. Moshe Kibbalah Torah Mesinai. Misara L'Yeshua, like the Mishnah says, but it's not the same. So at that, exactly at this juncture, when people start to feel low, when they start to feel a weakening, when they start to feel a crumbling of resolve, exactly here, when they start to lose their inspiration, Moshe Rabbeinu interjects and says, hey, no, they'll lose the inspiration. You find a way to reignite the passion. You find a way to regenerate the inspiration. And that is the mitzvah of Hakel. Here, when Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jewish people, and he mentions, do not be fearful. Hashem will not let go of you. Do not have any weakness. So because precisely at this moment, when Moshe Rabbeinu finished giving the Jewish people his last will and testament, and he brought them into the covenant, and he commanded Joshua, it's a fait accompli, as they say, it's over. Right at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu says, guys, you got to stay inspired. So the two answers of the Rebbe are, one is an answer for the king's job, the other is our job. How we're supposed to listen. How we're supposed to make sure that we are the proper vehicle and vessel for that inspiration so that we become recommitted and redevoted to Hashem and His Holy Torah. And that, my dear friends, is the essence of the mitzvah we call Hakel.